You put it in front of the speaker?
Go ahead.
Everybody's mic's on. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the January 18th monthly meeting of the City of Brookhaven Zoning Board of Appeals. First order is the roll call. Mr. Clockadale?
Here.
Ms. Balcom?
Here.
Mr. Beardsley is here. Mr. Self?
Here, here.
Mr. O'Connell?
Here.
Ms. Miller?
Present.
Okay. So we have six members. That's a quorum. First order of business is approval of the work session minutes from December 21st. Any comments on those minutes? If not, love a motion.
Move to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The work session meeting minutes are approved unanimously. Likewise, the regular meeting minutes from December 21. Any comments? They all look correct.
Move to approve.
Second.
Second from Mr. Clockadale. All in favor of the motion?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None opposed, that carries. Under organizational and procedural items, first I'd like to congratulate Patrice Ruffin, who is given the permanent job of Director of Community Development recently. We're proud of her and grateful that she's our new leader, even though she was a de facto leader and driving force for some time. So, congratulations. I'd also like to report that the board has had a resignation this week from Don Bolia, who resigned for personal reasons. I'd like to take this opportunity for the chair and the board to thank Don for almost 4 years of volunteer service to this ZBA. Like myself and a few of us, was an original member, had a great attendance record, and of course I thought he always made well thought out, diligent questions, comments, and great contributions to the board. So we will miss him. I can't tell you how long it'll take for a replacement. At first, the mayor has to appoint, and there's a short approval process, and then there's training. So it might be 2 months, maybe, before we get a replacement. Any other organizational and procedural items? I guess I'll read the chairman's preamble. The Zoning Board of Appeals is charged with the responsibility of considering special exceptions and variances to certain ordinance requirements after determining whether undue hardship exists upon an applicant based on the strict application of ordinance requirements and based on certain established criteria. In addition, the board has the power and duty to hear applications where it is alleged that an administrative official erred in a final order, requirement, or decision based on or made in the enforcement of the zoning ordinance. We don't have any of those cases tonight. Tonight's cases are all variances. The Zoning Board of Appeals does not rezone property. The board has no authority to grant certain variances, such as for use, density, or height. We cannot grant a variance in conflict with a conditional zoning or a special land use permit. In addition, there are limitations on the board's authority to vary requirements to the sign ordinance. The board may not extend the time period for a temporary outdoor social, religious, entertainment, or recreation activities approved by the community development director. Final decisions of the ZBA may be appealed by petitioning the Superior Court of DeKalb County within 30 days after our decision is rendered. I would like to state that this board is comprised completely of citizen volunteers. All the board members are residents of the city as well as your neighbors. We realize that not everyone will agree 100% with the decisions we render as a board. Our goal is to make Brookhaven a better place for everyone through our unbiased interpretation of the zoning ordinance in conjunction with that very important citizen input we receive at our meetings. Okay, Madam Development Director, the unfinished business, please.
ZBA 1652, 3096 Lanier Drive. This is a request to increase the maximum lot coverage from 35% to 39.9% for construction of a pool on an existing single-family residential lot. This item was deferred from the October and December meetings to allow the applicant time to revise the site plan. At this time, the applicant is requesting withdrawal of the application due to a prior variance existing on the property, which has been confirmed by the department, and staff is recommending withdrawal.
Thank you. Any questions from the board? Looking for a motion.
I move to approve applicant's request to withdraw.
Excellent.
Second.
Thank you. Seconded by Ms. Balcom. Motion by Mr. O'Connell. Any discussion of the motion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? A motion to allow the applicant to withdraw ZBA 16-61 is approved.
ZBA 1661, 2900 Mabry Lane. This is a request to reduce the stream buffer from 75 feet to 48 feet for construction of a single-family residence. Staff is recommending approval conditional of the request.
Thank you. We have a lot of folks here tonight. Anyone who wants to speak in the public hearing section needs to bring a card up to the front stage right, or Ms. Reynolds up here. I know we have a lot of comment cards, so we'll ask the applicant now to come forward in the first case 62, Jennifer Kahn. Applicant has 10 minutes, and if they don't use it, can reserve for rebuttal.
What is this? Mr. Chair, it's 61 Jim Holmes.
Did I go too far? Sorry. This is 61 Jim Holmes, sorry. Jim and Brenda Holmes, welcome. Somebody comes to the mic, states their name.
I'm Jim Holmes, my wife Brenda, our architect Chad Madison.
Don't be bashful, speak in the mic, please.
And we saw that the staff recommended approval, and we're happy to answer any questions the board may have.
We don't do questions until after the public hearing. This is your chance to kind of recite your case and make any special comments you want to make.
Yeah, we've got an old house and we'd like to rebuild. It's already in the setback because it didn't exist when the house was built. The setback did not, the requirement did not exist. And really what we're doing is we're pulling the footprint of our carport and our driveway forward, and then we'd like to push out a little bit on the other side of the lot for a master bedroom on the ground floor. And I think in terms of permanent encroachments, it actually results in a reduction of the encroachment that exists now. We hope the board feels that it's a reasonable request. And there's really not much down there in the way of natural vegetation right now. We had a big oak tree that fell a number of years ago after a hurricane. And we ended up with a lot of stuff coming in, filling in when the oak tree was lost. It was blackberries and things like that. So we pulled the rest of the ivy out, and it's had pine straw down there. So there's not a great deal of natural environment down there right now. And the creek has been culverted next to us, and the lot down, the two lots to the south have been culverted. So there's been a decent amount of disturbance. We don't want to do anything more than we have to in that regard. So we wish we could stay out of it altogether. We've got some nice trees in the front we'd like to kind of work with. So I think when you look at the site plans, you'll see we have a nice half-acre lot, but the 75 feet takes up quite a bit of it. So we're hoping the board can work with us on the variance.
Mr. Architect, sir, do you have any data?
We actually designed the footprint to where it's inside the 50-foot line,
That was the goal, knowing that this would be an issue going forward. The 48, the extra 2 feet is for the, you know, obviously getting workers around the corner of the house and putting the silt fences up. We're setting the house right up to that front yard setback, and I feel like we've done a pretty good job putting a modest-sized home on this property, and in my opinion, it's not impacting the lot any more than the existing house does now, as far as the basement grade and existing contours of the lot. So.
Okay, thank you. Do we have any comment cards on this case?
There are none.
There are none, okay. So we can move, we can close the public hearing and go into board discussion. How about some questions for the applicant?
I don't necessarily have questions, I just comments that I communicated earlier, which is that I'm pleased to see that they're reducing the impervious surface that's currently in the stream. I'm pleased to see that you're adding flow outs. And in my opinion, you're approaching this in the most responsible way that you can, given that you know, you have the situation that you have on your lot.
I agree, it's a very reasonable request.
Ms. Ruffin, could you remind me what is the requested lot coverage for this lot?
There's no lot coverage variance.
I'm sorry, my question is, what is the code? What is, for R100 lots, what is, for the size of their home?
The maximum allowed is 35%.
Okay, and they're going to be at 27.1?
Correct.
That's a good point, thank you. So well under the lot coverage, staying out of the first 50 feet and reducing the overall impervious surface in that last 25 feet.
I guess the only thing I would add is that, you know, looking at their site plan here, they pulled the house as far forward as they can without seeking the variance for the front yard. And I don't really see where there's an opportunity for them to do much else.
It wouldn't make sense to put the driveway on the other side because of the pipes under there, I think. It would change more trees.
From a topo standpoint, that would be a little bit more difficult because the drop is on the left side more than it is on the right side. The existing house has a carport on the northwest corner of the property where we're putting the garage, again, hoping to impact the existing topography as least as possible.
And you're going to save the magnolia trees? How about that big tree on the northeast corner of the house?
That's going to be really tough because I think it currently is 5 feet from the edge of the house. And
I wouldn't want that tree that close to my house, honestly.
If we knew it would keep standing, it would be great.
All right. Any other questions?
Go ahead. Move to approve ZBA 16-61. 2900 Mabry Lane, subject to the two staff conditions, if I can speak this evening.
I'll second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion of the motion? All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Mr. Holmes, nice job on the letter. One of the better letters on the application we've seen.
We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Good luck.
You may see me walking my dog past your house.
ZBA 1662, 1475 Hertz Mill Road. This is a request to increase the maximum fence height in the front yard of a single-family residence from 4 feet to 5 feet, to increase the maximum retaining wall height from 4 feet to 5 feet, and to reduce the retaining wall setback from 5 feet to 2 feet. Staff is recommending denial of the fence request and approval conditional of the retaining wall request.
Welcome to the cons and advisors.
Hi, good evening, everyone. Thank you for hearing our
our variance application. My name is Basil Kahn, and this is my wife, Jennifer Kahn, and this is Zach Garrett. He's our surveyor, and neighbor Keith Grunwald. Like I said, thank you for taking our application. As you guys know, we're requesting variances to keep the current height of our aluminum 5-foot fence out front, and also to reduce the setback of a retaining wall from 5 to 2 feet and increase its height to 5 feet next to our garage. We moved into our home in 2014, and we spent a lot of time out front with our kids due to the nature of the grade on our property. It's there's a significant drop in the back, so it's largely unusable. And we have two young children that we play with in the front of our yard. Shortly after moving in, we noticed drivers were used on Hartsmore Road. We're using our turnaround driveway to avoid traffic on Hartsmore Road. And I have a picture here, if like you guys can see. That's a typical workday in the mornings and evenings. It backs up when people are turning around in our driveway. As you can imagine, for a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old, this is a huge safety concern. And it also helps us keep them off the busy highway. And because of the elevation grades, I realized that when we put the fence out, we made a mistake. We weren't familiar with the codes. We work with a contractor, and there's a lot of emphasis put on the 35-foot setback for the right-of-way, and this was just a point that was overlooked. And that being said, an extra foot helps us keep. It's a huge difference for a three to a 5-year-old. And as you can see from this picture, this is the street view of our fence, and it's hardly noticeable or bothersome from the street. There's no visual breaks in the openness or the surroundings. It's hardly even noticeable behind the tree line. And in addition to, you can see from this night picture that the fence structure itself adds lighting to the area. This not only benefits us and our home value, but makes the entire, you can see how dark that stretch of road is. It makes the entire area secure, and it benefits most of our immediate neighbors. Cutting the fence down to 4 feet would not only be expensive for us, but when getting into our next variance that I'm going to talk about in a second, we have a significant flooding problem whenever it rains on our property, and it'd be easier on us if we could spend that money to address this drainage problem. After a couple of days of rain, this is what our front lot looks like, and this is what our rear lot looks like. As you can see, there's rivers flowing down both of them, and this is the retaining wall in question. When it's about approximately 50 years old, it's brick and mortar. There's no real drainage other than that concrete soil to catch runoff water. When it's slowly falling apart, every time it rains, the wall is cracked, so it basically just floods our whole lot. When it breaks, it's going to flood, hit our garage, and flood our crawl space, and basically flood our basement. So what we're asking is we can push this back to 2 feet inside the property line, and that'll allow us space to put in a French drain in between the wall and the boundary itself, and have a supplementary overflow drain in front of the wall. The wall itself will be made out of landscape engineering blocks, which will be safer, stronger, and just hold back the grade. As far as the height goes, we're only asking to increase it to 5 feet to follow the grade of the land next to the garage, and basically just so stop erosion and stop any further decay of the soil. And that's really it.
I think, just in summary, it would be somewhat of a hardship for us to have to cut the fence that we currently have because it's made of aluminum. And that also, as Faisal mentioned, for a 3-year-old, that 12 inches does make a difference. As much as we're trying to keep people out, we're also trying to keep our kids in. We're trying to be responsible parents. And hopefully with the additional variance for the retaining wall, we can just keep our property a little bit more manageable with the water.
Thank you.
I'm the surveyor. I can add that let me go back to that first picture. this picture shows it well. The I can just attest to the elevation change from the road down to where the fence is built. It's an average of 2 feet of drop when you come perpendicular from the road. So if you come 2 feet down, if you consider the road at zero elevation, come down to your negative two, add five again, you're back at positive three. That's underneath the visual line that you're talking about. So I think that would be fall within the intent of keeping the openness of the neighborhood. So I don't think that would, you can see for yourself that the windows of the garden are clearly visible and it doesn't change any visual break.
And my wife and I are neighbors two doors down, and we just wanted to voice our support for their variance. We think they're wonderful people. We think aesthetically it looks fantastic, and we're just excited the neighborhood's continuing to get better.
Okay, do we have any comment cards?
There's one in support, Keith Grunewald.
Okay, no opposed? Okay, let's hear from the support. Or is that? That's Keith, yeah. Okay. Thank you for submitting a card, Keith. You were right there on the spot when you called. Thank you. Okay, we'll close the public hearing and open up for questions. The retaining wall seems very reasonable to us. You know, it's some work there, some expense, drainage being a big issue. I don't have a problem with the retaining wall work. Seems reasonable. You're going to make it kind of match the gray of the land so it looks appropriate, and one end just a little higher, right?
Yeah, basically just next to our garage. It's 5 feet is the height of the dirt, basically. It's just going to stop our drains from blocking out with dirt and cleaning them out every year. That's basically the 5 foot section that drops back to four.
That's the kind of thing where we find the hardship. To your variances, we have to find a hardship. Your fence presents a different matter. It's, you know, economic hardship is not something we can consider. So I think we have to look at that one a little differently. Any other board members want to comment on the fence?
I was going to say exactly what you said, Mr. Chairman. I understand. I'm a mother. You know, I get it. You know, my daughter climbs over everything. Unfortunately, we're not supposed to consider financial aspects as part of our criteria that we follow to grant variances. I do like the fact that apparently the lights on the fence, you know, help the neighborhood, from what I understand, and it lights the way. Some of that adds to the neighborhood. It's the height of it, and not only the height, but also apparently the gate is even higher, as I understand it, about a foot higher.
It's structurally, because of the width of the driveway, they had to make the gate that height for it to open.
Okay.
That was just a design of being able to open it with the mechanisms, because it's the 13-foot wide driveway, so to be able to carry the weight, that was the structure of the gate to be able to do it.
Okay. When did you guys put the fence in?
It was finished in 2015.
Okay.
So we started pretty much 2014, when we noticed there was a problem. We finished moving in January and started finding a contractor by summer, and then they didn't start completed until the following year.
Okay. That's all that I have.
Now, I guess I would just add to that a little bit. Also, a father, and I understand I've got three little girls, so I understand the safety concern there. I feel for you in that respect, but I don't know that we can help you with that. I think even if we could find a hardship for the fence and approve that, you still wouldn't be able to get the approval for the gate at a higher height than what you're asking for here. You would still have to remove the gate, which I think kind of allows the cars to come back into your drive again and reintroduces the safety concerns that are the whole point of the fence. So, while I feel for you, I don't know if we can help you with
unfortunately. My question to staff is, what is the intent of the 4-foot limit?
Typically, the fence ordinances, when they have the shorter height along the front, is to allow visibility into properties, so you don't end up with a wall of a, you know, privacy fence that's 8 feet tall or something like that.
Yeah, I guess that's what I'm kind of torn about, is this thing is located lower and it is visible.
And it's not opaque. You can see, I mean...
Right, you can see through it.
It's not a privacy fence. It's not a privacy fence. So,
agreed.
It's kind of like a pool. It's like the intent, maybe the staff thinks a pool is not appropriate, then we find different. So, that's where my head is. DD, I'll tell you, I hear you on that. I'd like to be able to help them. Can you show me a hardship?
Not that we set precedence, but I do go back to a case where a gentleman built an entire cardboard and said he was from like Macon, and that was the reason he didn't know what the heck was going on here.
I thought of that one too.
So that's where I'm a little bit torn. This is a little less egregious than building a cardboard.
Could they possibly need the extra foot, Ms. Ruffin, for the fence because of the grade of the property and because of the flooding?
Not related to the flooding. For example, the sign ordinance allows the height to be measured from the level of the street. Mm-hmm. The fence ordinance doesn't have that same kind of allowance, so staff doesn't have a way to analyze it that way. So you would get credit for that foot where it drops off from the street level, if it was a sign in a commercial area, but because it's a fence, we don't have any allowance based on the grade.
How tall are these bushes in front of your fence?
Bushes are probably 4 feet, and they cover pretty much the top of the fence.
They're evergreens, right?
Yeah, so they're an arborvitae. No, they stop at about, they grow 12 inches a year.
They're huge.
So those trees being in the right of way is no problem for the city.
As long as the cons are aware that if we need to get in there and
they're
have to remove them. Yeah. They're responsible.
I guess I'm bringing it up because the fence height is for visibility. I'm like, now do we have to tell them they got to pull their bushes out because you can't see? Because the bushes are over 4 feet. And you can't see through bushes.
Ms. Ruffin, is the reason that the, and I'm sorry, I think you already answered this, but that the fence ordinance is 4 feet is for visibility?
For visibility.
But we've already established that it does not create a sight distance issue.
Correct.
And I'd have to say that, to me, Hart's Mill, that is one busy street.
It really is.
And you know, if I were to peg hardship, it would be the traffic and the health and safety concern.
I mean, those evergreens are going to get to be taller than 5 feet, right?
I don't know where you got your math, but mine are enormous in my yard.
Mine are too.
They're a variety that like that this tall skinny ones, so they grow really. I mean, maybe they'll get up to 20 feet. I mean, we can trim them down if they.
My point is, they're gonna be much taller than the fence. I guess is kind of where I'm going with that. At some point, they're.
You're
gonna
never gonna see your fence from the street.
Right.
You're gonna see.
Yeah.
Evergreens.
It actually it was placed across the bottom of a drainage. The fall goes up. And when the original contractor was grading our lot, he just flattened out the yard and took away the dirt. So the kind of drainage ditch where all the water flows out, just dumps out into our yard. So it's actually at the bottom, like our neighboring lot, you can see the drainage ditch just continues onwards. And so it's like at a point where water runs down, which is kind of why all the water kind of seeps towards there.
That's why it's aluminum, too. More rust.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, why don't we get a motion on the retaining wall, and we'll do it separately from the fence. How about that? Anybody want to make a motion to approve the retaining wall variance?
I move to approve ZBA case 16-62 to increase
the maximum retaining wall height from 4 feet to 5 feet, and to reduce the wall, the retaining wall setback from 5 feet to 2 feet, to include staff recommendation number one.
Excellent.
Second.
Who seconded it?
Jane? Sorry, Jeff got it.
We have 2 seconds.
It's O'Connell.
Who was the first?
O'Connell.
O'Connell second. Welcome. Motion. Any discussion of the motion? Hearing none, all in favor of this motion, please say aye and raise your hand.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Nay. Okay, no nays. So we got 6-0 to approve the retaining wall height and setback. One down.
Still more discussion?
Are there any other comments on that?
Do we have the fence ordinance that we could throw up on a screen?
I can hook up on here.
It takes 4 votes to pass.
Didn't we have a similar case last year?
We did. The difference with that one was that that fence was actually in the right-of-way, so there were other issues.
I guess that'd be, if this was like on a cul-de-sac with 10 homes, it was a fence with no ditch, I'd be a little bit more worried than I am with a road like this. I'll move to approve the variance to increase that maximum fence height from 4 feet to 5 feet.
A motion to approve the fence height. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Hope seconds. I'd like to have a discussion on the motion. What does it mean if we only approve 5 feet for the support post for the gate?
It still means that their gate has to come out. Because we've advertised 5 feet, it's over 5 feet.
Right, so the gate would have to come out, or a gate with maybe a post in the middle or something for support. Drill a hole in the middle of the concrete and have a double gate that maybe wouldn't work with a remote control. I don't know. But.
Wouldn't work to drive through either. Can't drive through a pole.
Well, no, I'm saying the pole would be part of the gate, and the pole lifts up and swings out of the way. Ain't you ever been on a farm there, Corey? All right. So we have a motion and a second. Any other discussion of the motion?
I'll tell you, I don't feel like I'm really prepared to vote on it, but we have a motion and a second, so we have to vote on it.
Well, we can discuss the motion.
Well, I'd like to see the ordinance here.
Okay, well, let's look at that.
That was a request.
We'll keep that
motion was made as we're getting it up.
Just keep that part of the discussion then.
Yeah. We can discuss it further based on what the ordinance says.
Mr. Ruffin, when I motioned for the retaining wall, did I include the setback? I think I did, didn't I?
Yes, you did. Yes. No, you got it. You nailed that.
So, Mr. Ruffin, can you point us to the pertinent part of the ordinance here, discussing a fence in the front yard?
It's Section A, subsection A there, and it's the second sentence. No wall or fence in a front yard of a lot zoned for or developed with a single-family detached dwelling shall exceed 4 feet in height.
Which I believe is fairly standard across municipalities in the greater metro Atlanta area.
It is. There are some municipalities that allow for a taller height if it's like a wrought iron fence where you can see through it. But if it's a solid picket fence, then it has to be the shorter height.
And then I'm reading on in subsection 1 there specifically identifies no wall or fence shall be permitted along a road frontage of a residential development or subdivision that is more than 50% opaque. So it seems to address, they're not talking about just a privacy fence here.
Right.
All right. Thank you.
Can I see the definition of a fence? Is there a definition of a fence?
There is.
Can we see that, please? Maybe this thing isn't a fence. I mean, if you're going to get right down to it, is it a fence? I don't know.
It is by definition.
It's a fence.
Okay, so you're willing to stipulate that it's a fence?
It is a fence.
Okay.
Do you want to bring up a point that you just made about Windsor Berkeley?
That's kind of off the off the
17,
radar.
17.
All right. Any more discussion of the motion?
I just feel like it meets the spirit of what's intended for this.
I can't hear you, Jim.
I just feel like it meets the spirit of what we're trying to accomplish because it's down, it's low, it's not standing up.
You can't you can't hardly see it anyway.
No.
And the trees are going to cover it up anyway.
We've got a lot of rationalizations here, but.
I'll tell y'all, I don't disagree with that. I'd love to see a zoning code rewrite on this when we do the zoning code rewrite later this year. I think it could be measured from street height, or it could specify certain types of fence, or I don't know. But
it's all how stringent your definition of a hardship is. Ms. Miller, any comments? You're ready to vote?
I'm ready. I don't agree with Mr. Clockerdale.
All right. Call a question. All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed?
Aye.
Okay, did it pass 4-2?
Yep.
Okay, pass 4-2.
Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
That was a close one, y'all.
ZBA 1663, 1082 Victoria Street. This is a request to increase the maximum lot coverage from 35% to 38.5% and to reduce the front yard setback along Victoria Street from 30 feet to 6 feet for construction of a single family residence. Staff is recommending approval conditional of the request.
Is that a real
pen?
Is that a prop? I'm sorry?
Is that a prop?
Thanks. Oh, I wish. You want to see the picture? I get the pins off tomorrow.
Nice shirt.
Eyes up.
You see it every month.
All right.
I'll be here next month, too.
Tell us your name, sir, please.
My name is Ken Warlick.
Your address?
I live, work, and play in Brookhaven. So.
Okay.
So essentially, here today to, request the variance for the front yard setback. It's a corner lot. So, typically when DeKalb County was still kind of running the show, the side yard setbacks were 7.5 feet. They considered whichever street the house was facing to be the front. Brookhaven sees it a little bit differently, so actually we have two fronts, both on Cates Avenue and on also Victoria Street, which is why we're requesting the front setback average to be reduced from the 50-foot center line of the street to the 6-foot to enable us to build a home that's basically in character and integrity with every single other home on Victoria, Francis, Cates, May Avenue in Linwood Park. Also, currently there is a multifamily unit there. We are requesting to reduce that to single family construction. Also, the current lot coverage for this property is 55%. We are requesting an increase from the 35%. However, we are reducing the overall coverage on the property itself. As far as a hardship, the keeping with the without the variance, we would have about an 8-foot wide by 50-foot building envelope, which is too small to build a home, and which matches the integrity and character of every other home surrounding it. So we're essentially asking for no more than what is currently existing on each corner lot in that neighborhood. We've got multiple letters of support from the directly affected neighbors, and hope that the city agrees with the request that we're here today for, and that's about it. So, I do have some more pictures of some of the surrounding houses if you guys want to take a look at those. This is
upside down.
Oh, sorry.
Blow it up, please.
Cam, which one is that?
This is on the corner of Francis and Francis and Cates. This one is, and it also too, I turned in submitted to you guys as well, but I have also kind of dimensions from each one of those as well. So if you look here, it kind of shows that house, the distance from the house itself to the actual right-of-way, the distance from the house itself to the property line, and the distance of the house itself to the center of the street. The next one, the next street over. This one is 3257 Francis Street, which actually faces Francis, but the garage itself is on Cates. Which I don't think I have that one, that measurement wheel. This one is on the corner of Mendel Circle facing Osborne. And let's see. I got a bunch of them, sorry.
You've got 6 minutes, sir.
Yeah, well, okay. So you kind of get it. I mean, here's the existing home that's currently there. And then also 3191 Cates Avenue as well. So you'll see where we have the quadplex that's currently at the property 1082 Victoria that has right now currently 12 foot from the actual back of the curb. The house directly across the street, which is essentially the exact same floor plan that I'm wanting to build with a different elevation, obviously. 7 foot from the property line, or excuse me, back of the curb, 14 foot, or 7 foot from property line, 14 foot from back of the curb, and 22 foot from the center of the street. Their garage is actually flush with the outside of the house. Okay, so as far as off-street parking is concerned, there is none on that property. I know that was one thing that staff said, we talked about. So in our variance, you know, we showed two cars to actually show that we were in fact having 4 off-street parking spaces for the home itself. Like I said, is multiple letters of support. You guys have those. I kind of have the highlighted areas of the letters that have been sent to you guys. The other neighbors too are in support as well, but just don't have letters for you. So. Anyway, that's all I got, and I'll say the rest for rebuttal if I need it.
All right, sir. Thank you, Ken. Letters, Kelly? Notices, comment cards?
We have one in support, and that's Will Stewart.
Mr. Stewart, are you here?
My wife and I are here just to support Ken. I think he's going to do a beautiful job with the houses there. It's going to look not exactly like, but very much in keeping with all the other houses.
Where do you live?
Yeah. Immediately adjoining this property, 1092 Victoria. So if you are on the Victoria side, I'm
toward the Glazers.
I'm between Glazers and this place. So we're 100% in support. I think it's a great house for the neighborhood. So that's it for me.
Thank you. No opposition. Okay, no need for rebuttal there. Shall we close the public hearing and open up for board discussion?
Just for staff to be clear, there's no other setback issues, or it's just that one that you're asking for?
That's correct, yes, sir.
Are you bringing the house further up from that line than it already is, or...?
Towards Cates Avenue, or so actually, you know,
so,
our front porch
going north on Cates.
It's
just kind of the same spot as it is now.
Yeah, so we actually could move the house right now. It's showing where you see the 50 foot is showing to the front building envelope of the home. So actually, I could move that home to where that front porch, according to the code and ordinances, up another 12 foot. But then it would essentially shadow the home next door on Cates, and it wouldn't be, because Brookhaven changed the you know, front setback out of it right
I'm
now.
I guess the question I'm having, are we getting moving closer to the house that's behind, that's north on Case?
Oh, no. In fact, we're actually 0.1 feet further away from it. Okay, so.
No.
And less beer cans.
And we're taking the lot coverage down from a current lot coverage of 54.5% to the requested 38.5%, correct?
That's correct.
So
has that happened before?
Not to that extent.
Okay, great.
Great job.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, I move to approve ZBA 16-63, subject to these two staff conditions.
Thank you, Mr. Self. Second?
I'll second.
Mr. O'Connell seconds. All in favor of the motion?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All opposed? It carries 6-0. Rise up, Mr.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
May your house rise up.
ZBA 1161 Victoria Street. This is a request to increase the maximum lot coverage from 35% to 38.02% for construction of a single family residence. Staff recommends approval conditional of the request.
How y'all doing?
Good evening.
My name is Omid Eli. This is my brother and my dad. We are, as said earlier, we're trying to increase the lot coverage from the 35% to 38%. With what, and obviously it's already been through approval, but with what we have, you know, seen in the Linwood Park area, with what the size that we have right now for lot coverage won't be up to par with what is in the area. But we want to build something that, you know, is close enough to what's in the Linwood Park area so we can kind of keep it the same look with what we have right now. It'd be a little bit difficult to do it with the 35%. So that's why we're here, to request the 38%. And, you know, upon your approval.
It's Mr. Ali?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Ali.
Okay, sir.
Mr. Ali.
Okay.
You're entitled to use all or part of your 10 minutes and reserve any time for rebuttal if there's any opposition.
Yes, sir. And this picture, if we can get it on the TV
camera.
This one to the right here is the lot that we have right now.
Turn very
sorry. That's the
front of the lot.
The next picture is the house right next to it.
On
the
left?
Yes, correct. Yes, sir. And as you can see, with the lot size that we have, with the coverage, it wouldn't be, it'd be a little difficult to build a house of that size. So it'd be a lot smaller. So that's why we're asking for the increase. So, you know, we can have build something that's close enough to what's in the Linwood Park area. This one is to the left of this one. So it's two houses down from the lot that we have right now.
Very good. You have a lot of pictures in the file. Thank you.
So that's all that we have to say.
Any comment cards?
There are none.
No comment cards on this case? And we'll close the public hearing and need to present any more or rebut any more of this indicative your questions. This application seems very reasonable to the chair. Your proposed could you please staff put up the proposed layout of the house? This one packet page
129, is it?
Yeah.
No. Yeah, that's it. So that's what you're proposing to build, right?
Yes, sir.
Garage on each side, steps in the middle.
Yes.
Nothing, no structures in the rear of the property in the back there.
Yeah, yes, sir.
I'd like to just clarify for the record, the recommendation from staff includes, it looks like it may have been copy-paste from the last case, includes the recommendation of approval for the front yard setback from 30 feet to 6 feet, which is not actually applied or advertised here. I just want to make known for the record that that is not on the table here tonight. We're strictly looking at the lot coverage from 35% to 38.02%.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And 38% is still well below a lot of homes in the middle of the park.
Mr. Chair, I move to approve ZBA case 16-64 to include staff recommendations 1 and 2 with the note from Mr. Self about removing the second half of the preamble to the recommendations.
I'll second.
Let's go down with the JD as the second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Congratulations.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Build a nice house. I live in the neighborhood.
Definitely.
We will.
Definitely.
Thank you.
We'll be watching.
ZBA 1665, 3010 Park Lane. This is a request to increase the maximum lot coverage from 35% to 46.68% for construction of an addition to an existing single-family residence. Staff is recommending denial of the request and in lieu thereof, approval conditional to the existing lot coverage of 44.36%.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. Thank you to the staff for their help with us getting through this process. Brett Hightower, this is my wife, Sarah Hightower, at 3010 Park Lane over in Ashford Park. We have one little one at home, another one on the way, so the house we bought 4 years ago is starting to close in on us a little bit. So we've approached an architect and went through the process of getting the lot surveyed and whatnot, and we're then learned that the gravel driveway and the gravel area, which we did as kind of a weekend project to create a fire pit and a walkway from the driveway to the deck, is being considered an impervious surface. So that's kind of our biggest struggle. The proposed addition does not encroach on the rear setback or the side yard setbacks. We have approached all of our neighbors that directly adjoin the property and have had no pushback and nothing but support. We did gather signatures as we were speaking with those individuals and brought them up to speed on what we were doing and found nothing but support there. When the house was rebuilt, it was actually a very sad place. We've heard stories of some pretty shady stuff going on there. But the individual who did rebuild it kept it on the existing footprint, so we're still on the original foundation, and we have a large detached garage, which is in the back corner of the lot, which was existing prior to as well. When they poured the driveway to get up to the back side of the house, I think the intention of putting the gravel drive out there was to reduce the impervious surface on the lot. And I think they also were trying to do as little disruption to the existing trees that are there. The proposed addition does not impact any trees. Unfortunately, we did have to take down one large oak a couple years ago because it was diseased and dying kind of in that back corner towards where we're proposing the porch. But we have done substantial landscaping since we bought the house, which we feel, again, helps with water retention and things of that nature. And then the builder also put in a retention trench or pit of some sort, which we included with our submittal, where all but one of our main house gutter drains go into that pit, so our runoff is minimized. We feel that our house is a lot smaller than what most of is going up around us. There's a lot of new construction, several that have been built within the last 18 months that are, you know, 4,000 something square foot houses. We have about 2,100 square feet of living space. The addition that we're doing is really taking away a lot of our outdoor deck living space and replacing that with a living area, better entrance into the house, and some covered outdoor space for us as well. So the increase in actual coverage is a little over 200 square feet. So it's, you know, when we saw that 46% number, it really kind of took us back, because when we originally got the drawing done, they showed, without considering the gravel, I want to clarify that is pea gravel, not like a large chunk of crush and run type of material, that skewed our number up by over 1,000 square feet, which is a big number on an 1,100 square foot lot. But we're hoping that we can, with all of those different factors and looking at how much of the drive and the fire pit slash walkway take up a quote impervious area on our lot, that you will consider our application to increase the living space in about 220 or 30 square feet of actual increase in coverage on the lot.
Okay, let's reserve 5.5. Let's reserve 5.5 minutes. See if we have any opposition.
There is none.
No comment points. JD, I'll see what I'm talking about.
He's done.
All right. We'll close the public hearing.
Excuse me, Mr. Chair.
We have support.
I apologize. There is.
You did ask for opposition.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't ask for support.
I just said opposition. Do we have any comment cards on this ZBA 1665?
There are three comment cards
in
support.
Okay.
And the first one is Ronnie Mayer.
Ronnie Mayer here is support.
Support something, wow. Ronnie. Wow.
Nice.
Okay. First. Got the AB working, didn't you, Patrice?
Record. What's left of the video?
Record.
Oh, yeah. Ronnie Mayer, community leader, Asher Park, 2709 Reading Road. I'm going to be positive for a minute, be negative. A lot of people that work for the city have a hard problem with everybody having common sense around here. I know a few of y'all. I know you personally. So let's start with this common sense. This young couple here, we just voted to spend $6 million on the park. If we run all the couples off having more kids, who's going to spend the time in this $6 million park we're buying over there? Okay, so let's use the common sense. It's a simple thing. They're right on the line of Chamblee. If you figure the gravel, water runs through it, doesn't run across it. If they've got gravel and the water runs through it, and whoever with the city said that it's not going to work, that's different. The water runs through it and into the ground, so the less impervious. And a few of y'all have kids, and if you decide to have more kids, you're going, wow, I need to add on a room to the back of my house. And we want to keep these young couples in Brookhaven, especially in Asher Park, me being a community leader. And the older I get, I need these young kids with lawnmowers to cut grass. So I'm asking y'all to have some common sense here. I know all you do. And let's keep this young couple in Asher Park, and whatever they need to do to add on to bring that other child in this world. We're going to have new schools around here, and we need some young kids to go to these schools. So I appreciate if y'all would help them out and pass it. Thank you.
Our next speaker,
Allison Glenn.
My name name is Allison Glenn. We are neighbors of the High Towers at 3031 Park Lane, my husband Aaron and I. We're just here in support. Fantastic people, as Ronnie said. They're wonderful mayors. They are neighbors. They welcomed us with open arms in 2015, and we'd like to see them stay. And we're also adding to our family, so we're hoping to have our neighbor across the road to help us along the way as well. So thank you for your support and your time.
Derek Dill.
I'm Derek Dill, I'm a neighbor of the High Towers as well. I'm four houses down on 9th Street, and I'm just here for support for Brett and Sarah. I mean, there's nothing about what they're doing that's going to negatively impact the street, the look from the street, or the neighborhood in general. But I'm just here to support them. That's it. Thanks.
Okay. So, please, we have one more.
My name is Ed Wall, and I'm financial advisor at the City of Brookhaven. I'm here as a Ed Wall, just citizen tonight, though. I live at 3020 Park Lane, which is right next to the High Towers. I'm in Shamley. I have a business, Piper Jaffrey, on Dresden Drive here in town. And my lot is, if you think about Park Lane, it slopes down, so the High Towers are up the hill from me. The creek runs in right by property. So water, if there is any on impervious surface, will come to my lot. There is no water. I don't have any trouble with drainage at all. There's a big retaining wall between us. And I get that sometimes y'all got to have a reason to give a variance. I think I heard one of y'all talk about it. The lot where my house is, their lot's way up on a hill. If they can't do what they're doing and just go up so that they don't increase the impervious surface, the house will be so tall that it'll look out of character for the neighborhood. And so if you're looking for something to hang your hat on, the solution would be worse than you granting this variance. Or they could leave, which that's the last thing we want done. They're great, great folks and great neighbors. And the gravel is right at a little gravel pad in front of their garage, and then their fire pit where the gravel was. And I helped Brett install the fire pit. And it's little old pea gravel that you find in the bottom of goldfish ponds. I do not think it's impervious. That's it. Thank you all very much.
That's it. I should have said in the preamble, we can't rewrite the ordinances either, but gravel under the ordinance is impervious, and I don't think it says what kind of gravel. It does it just rough. Gravel is gravel.
Gravel is gravel.
Small rocks. So I think what the staff is suggesting is a compromise. It's they've got their reasons for it. I guess it's makes some sense. So how would you accommodate your, how would you change your plans, could you change your plans to meet the staff recommendation of the coverage?
Well, we did actually make a couple of small adjustments to the site plan where we basically cut the stairs off the covered porch.
Hang on 1 second. Could you blow that up a little bit better just so we can see the diagram? That's better. So we
had the talk with the architect and the surveyor, and basically that we don't need a 12-foot wide staircase there. And I was like, yeah, we just basically need the standard 4 feet or whatever it is. So that, we're picking up 15 to 20 square feet here and there. Had them push the stairs that are coming off of what's kind of our existing deck back to flush with the proposed addition. So that picked up a few more feet. Certainly we could shrink some of the size of the gravel drive. I mean, we're not like in love with the gravel drive. It's kind of a nuisance. It gets stuck in your tires. The kids aren't really, it's not great for them to play or learn how to ride a bike on or anything like that.
You're gonna put it in the house.
Pardon?
Put the rocks in her mouth.
Oh, yeah. She was showering herself in rocks this afternoon. But, you know, I think that the fire pit area and the walkway, which is, you know, what we did with our, you know, a couple trips to Lowe's and the landscape supply place, that's like 180 square feet. So, I mean, we can get to the 44-something percent. We'd have to chop off some of that little skinny portion of the deck on the north side of the house, which is there right now because we have French doors that come out of the master bedroom. So that would require us to then put windows in there because you can't have French doors that open out into nothing. So I've explored those options, and it's, you know, certainly something that we could do, and we understand that you know, obviously would cost us more money, and a financial hardship is not something for you to consider. But I think the thing for us is that it's just hard to digest is that gravel is even counted at 100% as an impervious surface. And I understand you don't have the authority to change the code or however it's considered. But, you know, like I said, when we had the original site plan done, we were going from 34% to 36%. So that was, you know, we walked out of that first meeting with Rhonda, like, wow, that just totally took the wind out of our sails. We've got a serious, you know, uphill battle because, you know, the sign in our yard where it says we grow from 35% to 46%, whatever it is, you know. People probably think we're trying to add on, you know, another 2,000 square feet to the house when really we're mostly just adding on to its existing deck.
What could they do more around the fire pit instead of gravel that would be not impervious but suitable?
Well, I'll get staff's opinion. What is there anything? I guess the food question is why is gravel such a big deal to us? I know you guys don't think we broke this one. So this is like the caveat option, I'm gonna leave.
By definition, gravel is impervious. The opinion is that gravel over time can be become compacted, and so then the intent of the pervious of it doesn't exist anymore. So if they chose to, they would be able to install a pervious paver system or something like that, but it has to be constructed a certain way to a standard detail in order for them to get 50% credit for that area. I don't know if they've considered that.
Yeah, we got a quote on an impervious driveway system, which consists of multiple layers of gravel and then putting pavers on top. And it costs $20,000. So
it only gets 50%.
So it seems like you're kind of, you know,
it's on gravel.
So you couldn't do some of that back driveway in that fashion.
No, and I mean, I think we can pick up some square footage, and
looks like you need 219, roughly 220, something like that.
Yeah.
Dude, how much is that fire pit?
The fire pit is
scale it.
And I had the guy do a drawing, so this, if you can pull this up and blow it up, this is like the, you know, kind of, in our opinion, like the worst case scenario, because, you know, we've spent good times around that fire pit with our neighbors and, you know, put some sweat equity into it, but this does get us below the, you know, the 44.36%. Like I said, it does involve, you know, removing this section of deck. As I spoke about earlier, we shrunk those stairs, we pulled these stairs back. You know, if we go that route, we can achieve it. I hope that we could go a little bit above that 44%, just to have a little bit of leeway there. Just thinking that, like, the stairs need to land onto something. But, you know, we want the project done more than we want to keep the fire pit. I don't agree with definition of the impervious surface.
I think too, also what we really haven't mentioned is these lots are all basically the same size down the street, and you can see the size difference of this house versus our house. We're really just looking to add an addition where our deck is plus the 200 square feet that it is. This is what's creating the issue with the the gravel. So when you're considering all the houses on the street and all the houses being built, our house is still much, much smaller in footprint of living space.
So Ms. Ruffin, on page 133, you know, it's noted that subject property currently exhibits the highest total impervious surface area on the block. Is that because, Ms. Hightower's pointed out, is that because of all the lots? I'm confused because it seems like I heard that all the houses are much larger, that they got similar lot size.
Take into account the garage. There's no living space.
The garage and the driveway.
The garage and the driveway are real
handicaps. This
handicaps.
Is the garage right here. So this is what's really drawing up.
Typically, there would be 400 square feet of living space above. Not typically, but if that were an attached garage, there would likely be 400 square feet of living space above it.
Yeah.
So if you just took that garage and put it up front next to the house, it gets to be the size of the other from a lot coverage standpoint.
That was existing.
Yeah, in both the garage and the footprint of the house for what they originally were. The garage was maybe built in the 80s or something.
And it was done that way because it was at 46%. You know, by saving the foundation, he wasn't increasing the degree of nonconformity. Yeah. So
the chair would be comfortable with something like 45% would compromise. I think we're spending too much time talking about 20 square feet of gravel here. Let's somebody make a motion,
please.
Drop a statement
like that would tell us what to do.
Yeah, I think it warrants a little
further
discussion.
You can take the middle of your driveway and create a little landscape aisle in the middle of your driveway.
That
you
we don't
drive
give
around
for.
You have to drive
the
around.
City doesn't give credit for that landscape strip in the middle of the driveway.
No, I'm not talking about a strip. I'm talking about a pod, a circle. Something that the city would give them credit for.
Nothing they can do in the middle of the driveway.
I mean, what if we were to actually just say, all right, we can kind of shave the driveway here, shave the driveway there, pour concrete, and say, all right, now the driveway is exactly 900. Because right now, it's hard. I did rock edging around all of the gravel to kind of keep it defined, but there's certain ways, because one side of the car, the garage, is a single car, and that's our non-daily vehicle, and then the other two, you've got to have your in and out type of deal. But we could shrink the driveway a little
bit.
So
grass in front of the single car garage.
I got to tell you guys, this whole thing seems ridiculous to me. The idea that gravel is completely impermeable, it is just completely counterintuitive to me. Mr. Hightower's point, it is like my pool, well, in a different way, pool is going to flood water. But to his point, we give a 50% credit for pavers that sit on top of a gravel base of several inches.
That's what
this is no different, y'all. This is another example. I understand that's what the ordinance is, but it's another example of an ordinance that needs to be rewritten. That's what this is.
I think I agree with your concern. I will say that if you drive a vehicle over gravel over the course of years, it will become impervious.
Wouldn't it do the same thing on the pavers?
No, it's designed for it. I mean, I agree with you.
Gravel served as a water collector.
I also think it's pretty easy to fix. Yeah.
So how do you
tighten the driveway a little bit?
Tighten the driveway.
Yeah, you get the numbers to work. I don't know. I mean, I agree. I think there's, we're talking 2% points here. I will say we've had this discussion on a very regular basis. Lots of people have left with 36% ask and come back with 35%.
I guess here's my thought process on it. It's really not much more room to go. It's not like we're asking someone's going to build an addition and then come back and go, I want another 1,000 feet. We're not talking about a really relational house that's going to be built onto.
Correct.
Yeah, I mean, the total ask
stop
on it is 237.
I'm done. This is the last one.
I'm prepared to make a motion.
Please.
Can what? Oh, was that you? I'm moving to
approve the increased maximum lot coverage from 35 to 46.68%, in accordance with all staff conditions.
Second.
Second from Ms. Miller. Any discussion motion? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion, please raise your hand and say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed?
Nay.
O'Connell, nay. Carries 5-1. Hightower.
Thank you.
Go forward, guys.
Have fun.
Tell
Try to get them before the baby goes.
She signed her letter.
She's on there.
Thank you. Not me. I'm fine with Ronnie there telling me I don't have common sense. We'll see him next week complain about the same thing.
ZBA 1666-3523 Buford Highway. This is a request to reduce the transitional buffer from 50 feet to 0 feet along the south property line for construction of an assisted living facility. Staff is recommending denial of the request.
Good evening. My name is Alex Sukov. I represent the petitioner. The property is slated to be developed as an assisted living facility. As we've gotten the report, it will be known as the Orchard at Brookhaven. There is another facility currently operated in Georgia in the city of Tucker, in the county of DeKalb. And we encourage you to visit our website, take a look at the building, take a look at what the project looks like. It was recently constructed. It's about a one-year-old building. We also encourage you to reach out to community members in the city of Tucker, as well as city government members, and hear what strong reputation the community has and how involved they are. The project itself consists of a long and substantially overdue improvement to the Buford Highway corridor. We're talking about a rich architectural design which will usher in over $10 million of improvements to the area. It will create roughly 100 jobs and provide needed services for the aging elderly population. We are seeking a variance to reduce the transitional buffer from 50 feet to zero. As it's mentioned in the staff report, we only need 26, and there are reasons why 26 is potentially acceptable according to the zoning ordinance itself, but we're arguing for the zero, and here's why. According to the transitional buffer, and this is straight from the report, transitional buffers are intended to create a visual screen in order to diminish potential negative impact of non-residential and mixed land uses on adjacent residential land uses. Okay, we're only talking about one property here, and I want to emphasize that we're talking about one property, 1634 Afton Lane. You should have before you a letter from the owner of 1634 Afton Lane. We are currently under contract to purchase that property. In fact, he supports this petition to remove it because we intend to take that property and convert it entirely to green space, therefore doing away with the need for the transitional buffer altogether. So the intent of the zoning ordinance is to protect the property, which is going to ultimately be owned by us, and turn it into a green space which will be used by community members. So I want to get to addressing some of the questions that we have to address in a variance request. Why this variance is needed? In the staff report, they mentioned that there's a minor topography issue here. Now, the reason this all came about is because we were required to put in a fire access lane. As the staff report mentions, according to the zoning ordinance, we are allowed to put in an access lane in the transitional buffer. The only problem is we can't put a retaining wall. So, if not for the topography, which is called minor, and if you read the report, it says that if we were to do the access lane as proposed, there will be a 12-foot retaining wall necessary. So I'd argue it's not minor if you need a 12-foot retaining wall to make it work. So there is a steep topography as you rise from this property onto the adjoining property. And once again, I'm going to remind you, we're planning to purchase that property. There will be substantial grading and substantial improvements turned into a usable, livable green space. It's not usable currently. You can't walk it. When you drive up, to get to the property, you have to drive up a steep driveway. When you get to the top of it, you're on the top of a mountain on a heavily wooded lot that you cannot enjoy other than the house and a little bit of a green space that they have in the backyard, which is, I believe, they're holding livestock back there currently. But ultimately, and what I want to focus on is that there is a hardship here if you deny the variance in its entirety. I understand the staff report showed that we only need 26 feet. That's the minimal. And if that's all you're going to give us, that's fine. That'll work for us. We can make it work until we get to the process to where we can adjoin these properties and do what we need to do to make it work. If we have to go through rezoning, we'll go through rezoning. But in the meanwhile, we'd like to get moving forward on this project. It's been underway for quite a while. This is something we'd like to start developing. There are alternatives, but I do believe that the zoning ordinance does provide us permission to use that area of the transitional buffer, at least up to the 26 feet. So there would be an undue hardship if you deny it, at least to the 26 feet. We request a zero because ultimately, in the grand scheme of things, it's going to be commonly owned property. The spirit of the zoning ordinance is to protect that property, and if the same owner is the owner of that property, there's no protection needed, and especially when an owner is waiving it. I'm going to save the rest of my time for rebuttal. Thank you.
Do we have any comment cards? For or against?
There are four comment cards in opposition, and the first one is Richard Clark.
Hello, my name is Rich Clark. I live at 1628 Folkestone Road, which is in the adjoining neighborhood to this development. And I've been more or less selected as a representative of our neighborhood. And there should be more than four comment cards, as we have quite a bit more people here.
There's a lot.
Ones that have elected to speak, there's four.
Oh, that have elected to speak, okay. But for the record, we have... And then my children and wife were here earlier, but for obvious reasons, they left.
They're super cute.
Thank you. So I have a thumb drive. Who did I give that to?
Ellen.
And right here we have, this is the proposed, this is the area of concern. I just leave that there for reference. One thing I'd like to point out to the board is I'm aware that you guys only have limited leeway in what you're able to rule on and discuss. And I would ask for some leniency as I discuss some issues that may be slightly beyond this hearing, but yet I think very pertinent to perhaps future variance hearings. One thing I'd like to discuss with you guys is the lack of communication we've had from the developer. He has not communicated with the neighbors in any way, shape, or form. There's been zero communication. In fact, if we go back to the projector, the overhead, thank you so much. In a conversation with their attorney yesterday, he was not even aware that there are houses, which there are five here, which abut and look straight at the proposed development, and one here. He was not even aware that there were houses with driveways that spilled down to Afton Lane, which is here. So not only were we not consulted, we did not even know, they did not even know we existed. Their reason that they gave for not consulting us is that they were in compliance with all zoning codes. Can you go to the photos, please? All right, so here we have just a photo of Afton Lane. This is roughly from just down from Beaver Highway. I'd note that, of course, this neighborhood is just off Beaver Highway. It's one of the only single-family residence neighborhoods that is directly off Beaver Highway in Brookhaven. And so we face a lot of struggles and hardship in general, and stigma, if you will, from living off Beaver Highway. If you look at comparable sales compared to the rest of Brookhaven, including Drew Valley, which is right next door, our sales are dramatically lower already because of our limited access just through Beaver Highway. If you look at Afton, you can see it's a dead-end street with a wooded buffer on the left side. Let's take the next picture, please. This is a view from the other direction. This also shows the variance sign, which was posted. Next picture, please. This is a further back picture. Next picture, please. You should just be able to click next there. Next one. Okay. If you look at the development plans, which you should have, there are two curb cuts planned for this street where entrances would be made into the facility next door. Again, please allow for some leniency as this is not directly related to this variance. But this is where one of the cuts will go. If I get the next photo, and you can see it's just a wooded area. This is what the person will look at. And this is a view from that same spot down the street. And then next photo, please. And this is a view from across the street to the house that will be across from this curb cut. All right, next photo. There's not very many left, guys. This is the second curb cut, which is further down the street. Again, we have a wooded area with a fence. This is what the neighbor is looking at when he looks out of his property. The next slide, please. This is what he sees looking down the road. Next slide. And this is the view of his house from the curb cut. So what we have here is a beautiful urban oasis. Everybody who lives in this neighborhood thinks it's the best kept secret in Brookhaven. We love it here. As soon as you turn down on Afton and then Folkestone, where I live, it's just very quiet, and we quietly enjoy our lives there, away from hustle and bustle, and despite the proximity of the highway, it's very quiet. Next photo, please. This is the variance sign. I guess for the record, we'd like to point out that it was incorrectly advertised, both in this and the letter we received, as having to do with the south property line. That was later clarified by documentation that came with the proposal, but there was a lot of confusion caused by this. Again, any modicum of communication from developers might have saved us from a lot of people wondering what was going on. Also, as noted in the staff report, due to our limited information, all we had in regard to this development was information released in regard to this. So we're finding out of curb cuts, we're finding about the trees coming down. By the way, all those trees we saw in the previous photo, every single one is coming down. All of them. As per their requests. So as for their plan, their overall layout. And I think that's the end of the photos for that one. Is the next one start with O2? Yeah, okay, that's the end of the photos. We can close that. So it's a very private neighborhood, as I've demonstrated, and our residents feel that we're losing a lot of our quiet enjoyment by having this facility across the street. Now, we've been told that they did not communicate with us because it was a done deal, quote unquote. All the proper zoning ordinances have been complied with, and that and so they didn't need to consult with us about bringing the trees down, making the curb cuts, any of this. If you could bring up the PDF that's on there. What should be called? Yes. Okay, that's the site plan. Go ahead and zoom in on that for me. Down at the bottom if you can. Yeah, here you can see those curb cuts at the bottom for the site plan. So I would argue, and I've been on the phone with attorneys all day today, discussing this. I would argue that the applicant who thinks that this is the only variance he will have to apply for to this committee is in grievous error, and I have a handout for the board. Thanks, sir. All right, briefly I'll try to explain this. If you could put this form up on the screen, it's called Covenant as Covenant in it. What we're looking at here is a document from July the 24th, 1984. This is the zoning hearing for this property when it was rezoned to commercial from residential to commercial IO. And in this document, which we have up here on the board, you can see the decision for the motion was made by the Commissioner Levinson, seconded by Commissioner Williamson, and unanimously passed to approve application subject to the site plan conditions agreed upon between the applicants and the neighborhood and access approved by Georgia Department of Transportation. So, if you can read some more commentary on that page as well. If you look at the first page, we have the second page, what we have here is an agreement between the owner of the property at the time and the residents of the neighborhood, Peachtree Village. And then on the next page, if you look specifically at item number 2, there shall be no access to Afton Lane from subject development. Item 3, no development should be limited to physical office combos. Number 4, 20-foot undisturbed buffer shall be maintained along the right-of-way line of Afton Lane. In addition, the buffer shall be approved by additional plantings of white pines and Virginia pines as to provide uniform screening between the subject properties and Afton Lane. And then on the next page, number 10, we have this agreement shall be binding upon and enforceable against and shall inure to the benefit of all parties hereto and their legal representatives, successors, and assigns. And I've had this looked at by the attorney who actually drafted this agreement and represented the neighborhood in this case, and he, in his opinion, said it should remain binding as the zoning is still in place. And I believe I've expired my time.
If there are comments, if there are other comment cards, we can offer to. I motion to add time to both parties' time so that the public can be adequately heard here today. I move to add 5 minutes.
5 minutes.
5 minutes.
Motion to add 5 minutes to both parties. Seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? None. Okay, so let's continue the opposition for 5 minutes. Who else gave comment cards that said they wanted to speak?
There's three more comment cards. Kenneth Block.
My name is Dr. Kenneth Block. I live at 1623 Afton Lane in this neighborhood, and we respectfully request that you protect the peace and tranquility of the neighborhood. Protect us from the motor vehicle, traffic, exhaust, increased noise of these vehicles coming into Afton Lane, which was really designed, as far as I am aware, to be used for this subdivision, not additional buildings. In addition, the residents of that neighborhood walk through the neighborhood for exercise, use bicycles, walk their children in the neighborhood, and also walk their dogs in the neighborhood. This increased traffic equals increased safety issues. Eliminating the buffer exposes us to lights from cars that would be parked across Afton Lane facing our homes. And these lights could directly impact our peace and quiet tranquility in our homes. In addition, the area is rich with wildlife, to include birds, bats, hawks, opossums, raccoons, and deer. Removal of the trees reduces the habitat for these wonderful animals. And we would like to preserve that as much as we can. Prior agreements have protected these buffers, and we respectfully request that these buffers remain intact. We are especially concerned, as Rich indicated, about the curb cuts, which will drastically increase the amount of traffic coming into and out of that neighborhood. And so we also ask you to take that into consideration. Thank you so much.
If I may use the remainder of the time, here's your copy. Yeah, could I have that slide up, please? Just briefly, just to show that the this covenant does run with the land. We have the...
There are other speakers?
Have they seated their time?
They've seated their time.
Okay. Thank you. That's a good point.
This plan here was planned from 1996 by a different owner, the subsequent owner, or a subsequent owner. And we have... you can stay on that slide on the computer. I'm just only up for representation. It was made in 1996. This is actually the building that was built and just recently demolished by the parties. And then on this, you can see here, I pulled it up for you, there are interesting things like well-installed white pines, total of 20. Can I see the next?
What are we looking at?
This is plan.
This is a blown-up.
Okay. It's a blown-up.
Okay.
It should be, start with 04. Should be the next picture. And then we have here 6-foot screening fence to be installed. There's also the 20-foot buffer line and no entrances and exits from Athman Lane. This would indicate that these developers were aware of the restrictive covenant on their property, even though they subsequently had already purchased it from Mr. Chancy. And so I think this is also an indication of the these restrictions running with the land. And if there's anybody else who wants to speak for the last minute, that's all I have for right now.
Hi, I'm Annie. I live across on 1617 Afton Lane. And I did go and visit the facility in Tucker. And it is on a side street, and there is two entrances that go around and the parking lot in front. There is dumpsters on both sides that are divided. And I could not see fire department connection off. And there were no trees except for one big tree by the dumpster. So all the vegetation had gone. And there was just a big, massive building. So we definitely don't want that. And so that's it. Thank you so much. As you can see, we made a coordinated effort and talked to all the neighbors and come together. So this was done with several meetings in mind that we have come together. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Okay, that exhausts the time for the opposition, and the applicant has rebuttal time. Tell us your name again, sir. I didn't catch it.
Alex Yusupov.
Spell your last name.
Yusupov.
Yusupov.
Okay.
I guess most importantly, I'm going to emphasize again, the variance doesn't have anything to do with any of the buffers or the curb cuts that are being referred to here. Most of the discussion raised by the community was in reference to the Afton Lane portion of the property. Most importantly, I think I have to go, I'm going to sidestep from what I was going to discuss because this is the first time I've seen this document. We verified zoning. This plan didn't come up overnight, okay? This has been in the works for quite a while. We went through this Cap County, we went through the city of Brookhaven, we verified zoning. I've never seen these documents. I'm an attorney, and some representations made here do bother me as far as running with the land and all that. We've done our title search, we've done our research. I'm going to point out that this is not a recorded document. There's no stamp recorded in any court, anywhere. There's no way for us to even know about this document. It's the first time I've seen it. Even as far as I know, city of Brookhaven doesn't even know about it. And when we spoke to DeKalb County, they have nothing on this file at all. As far as we're concerned, we're in compliance with all ordinances. The only thing we're asking right now is a variance for an adjoining buffer for a property that we're planning to purchase. The only owner that's affected by that, for whose benefit that transitional buffer exists, doesn't oppose it. Unfortunately, that's all I can say, because this is literally the first time I've seen this document. Save the rest of the time for questions.
Okay.
Can I have one more?
Now, you can address
the opposition. We extended the time. Mr. Yusupov had more time. But he
I mean, I'm just shocked by this document, honestly. So,
well, we're going to close the public hearing, and I'll come out for board discussion. I'd like to go first.
Did everyone get to speak?
Yeah. The opposition used their 15 minutes.
I understand the opposition used their time. I believe there's somebody over here indicating some other comment. Ma'am, are you for or against this?
Against.
You are against. Have you submitted a public comment card?
Yes. She did not see
her. And she did not see her time. I move.
This is the first time I'm even hearing.
Ma'am, one second. Just point of order. I think we need to just have a board motion, second vote to extend
we
time.
We can also invite her up to ask and answer questions.
We absolutely can.
We can do that.
Let's do that.
Let's go on to board discussion. Ma'am, would you approach the podium, please? Yes.
Ma'am, do you have a comment?
We have a question. We'd like to know what you have to say. Give us your name and address.
My name is Mona Rubenstein. I'm at 1660 Claremont Court. So I did get your letter. I'm here tonight. I don't think my property is exactly near this bird barn, but this is the first I'm hearing about it, and the letter states that it is going to affect my property. I believe that I live on the back end of where you want to have this change, and I don't want you to take down all the trees because it's a buffer as far as the noise from Buford Highway. And once they take down all of those trees to put this lane, fire lane, or whatever it is, we'll be looking at buildings and no trees. And right now I live in a beautiful area with birds and all kinds of wildlife, and I'd like it to stay that way. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Chairman, what I'd like to ask the staff, it seems to me to be a defect to advertise this as a transitional buffer along the south property. What is your comment on that?
Staff would acknowledge that that's a Scrivener's error. The site plan shows where the buffer encroachment is, and it's east on the east property line.
East property line, okay. But you don't feel that's efficient enough to re-advertise, require re-advertise?
I don't. It's clear from the site plan where the location of the transitional buffer requirement is.
Okay. The chair is certainly impressed with Mr. Richard Clark's research to come up with this agreement. This agreement looks like, again, none of us had a chance to verify it. Staff hasn't, Mr. Yusupov hasn't. So, you know, we have to take this thing at face value, but it appears to be conditions of zoning. And of course, our board doesn't have any authority to vary or change conditions of zoning. I think that's really clear. The transitional buffer is the only topic before us in this application, and whether or not to grant variance on it on the sides. Apparently be the east and northeast sides. The applicant is not asking for relief on the northeast side adjoining the apartments, but only on the side adjoining the single family lot owned by Mr. Horner. Right, Horner. So, although I think it will be the responsibility, we have several things going on. There's been an LDP application which has been held up over this issue. I certainly think the entire site plan and LDP application would have to be revisited if this, in fact, is condition of zoning, no curb cuts on Afton Lane. requirements for buffers. I don't even know about the office condo requirement. That's a whole other issue. So we can't do anything about any of that other than point out that we up to staff to determine if this is enforceable and how to enforce it, and possibly the city attorney. Mr. Clark might want to put this in the hands of the city attorney as well. But what we can do is decide on whether we want to grant any relief to the transitional buffer on the east side of the owner's property. That is the limit of the question before us. With that preamble, now I would like to hear from the board if you have questions.
I have a question for Mr. Clark. Mr. Spock, if you could step back so that we Yes, please. Thank you. Mr. Clark, are you an attorney?
I'm not.
How did you come about this information?
Mr. Kim Block had in his possession from his long duration of stay in the neighborhood.
I was most curious as to how you came up with it.
I've submitted a form request to get the full hearing from the county. He also said I should probably try with you guys, because you may have some documents as well, but it is quite an old document.
Most documents from DeKalb County were not transferred over.
Yeah.
And this type of document would not normally be in the deed records here. It's public record because it should be attached to the minutes of a meeting where the property was rezoned. But it doesn't have to be filed with the deed.
It does exist somewhere in public record. I imagine if it was a public zoning meeting.
So again, that agreement doesn't have anything to do with our transitional buffer variance.
And I do apologize for that, but this is the only public hearing we've had regarding this entire development, so we felt it was our time to take advantage.
Totally appropriate. Thank you.
I personally appreciate it.
So if the, I know I don't want to deliver this. We've got to wait and see what this is. In this document, it outlines transitional buffers. It doesn't matter. We don't know about the validity of this.
This case does kind of screen for a deferral.
Okay.
That's what I would recommend at this point, because staff needs to verify that case and the conditions are actually in existence, and then we also need to consult with the city attorney.
Mr. Yusupov,
please. Mr. Chair, if I can't real quick.
Yeah.
We're talking a lot about this. New documentation submitted here tonight that has no bearing on what we do as a board. I don't know that I agree that it does screen for a deferral, because I don't think a deferral is going to change the outcome of whether or not they meet the criteria for, whether or not they meet the criteria for the transitional buffer to reduce to zero.
It does. However, if you're a developer and you now suddenly can't have your two curb cuts on Athens, you may want to redesign. And that redesign could lead to some changes in the way the transitional buffer. I mean, the other reason to defer is if they close on Mr. Horner's lot,
that I agree with.
Then essentially that would affect my decision. So that would still be zoned residential, even if they buy it.
Right. So it would have to be rezoned and then more time.
Well, it would have to be. But if he said, I'm going to put my 50-foot, I will dedicate 50-foot of this residential lot to serve as my transitional buffer, that, I think, would possibly work. And so there's a lot of reasons why this thing needs to be re-looked at.
So,
but you're right. We could say we could deny the transitional buffer. We could grant a compromise.
I initially had the same thought, that a deferral would serve that purpose, mm-hmm. of letting them finish with the acquisition of that lot. But to Mr. O'Connell's point, they would need to go through a rezoning before they could really say, this is going to be our buffer. And we have a zoning moratorium in place that does not expire until when?
February 19th. But council hasn't indicated whether or not they're going to
extend.
Just let it expire.
So we have no idea what's going to happen there.
I think personally what I would like to see is the applicant withdraw the request, because a deferral pushes us out 30 days or 60 days, at which point they will be back before us. We will have another public hearing where they will request another deferral, because they are not going to be able to adequately redesign this plan within that amount of time. It's just not going to happen.
You might be right.
I think we're putting the cart before the horse here.
And if they get denied tonight, then what does that say?
Then they have 2 years before they can do anything.
Right.
I agree with Corey. I have one of the mentions that how many people are on the audience right now? We're sitting here at 9:15 at night.
A
dozen. I don't think we should have to defer this. They have to come sit here and waste their time, and we have to do this all over again. I'd rather have this drawn. And then, whenever the time is appropriate down the road, when everyone's ducks are not figured out for an hour, but when the other ducks are in a row and everything's sorted out, then they can come spend their time here, because I don't want to see
nice people, thank you, but
I don't want to see them.
I know the question hasn't been passed to me, but
I think
withdrawal would be more appropriate. This is a document, the first time that we've seen it.
Sir, we're on board discussion. It's not appropriate for you to speak.
I just don't have question. I think there's a lot of reasons that maybe in my opposition it should be withdrawn. For citizens' reasons, for process reasons, for things that staff need to do.
Yeah.
So I would encourage you to
withdraw.
I would.
Jeff, anything? Okay, Mr. Yusupov, I have a question. Is your client here?
I'm an attorney representing the client.
But do you make the decisions, or does the client make these?
Well, I have authority to make decisions here
today.
Okay,
fine. Very good. So are you interested in a withdrawal?
I think that would be the best decision tonight, would be to withdraw and revisit this after we've had an opportunity to examine this document.
Withdrawal means, Mr. Ruffin, correct me if I'm wrong, this application is gone. You have to start over. You have to pay another fee.
Yes.
You have to re-advertise in the same way you did. So, but, you know, I don't think you get a positive decision from us if you press it tonight
for decision. I would highly encourage you, if you do get a withdrawal here tonight, highly encourage you to reach out to the neighbors and have the community meetings that should have already taken place.
Yeah, we're,
while
we're,
you may fall within the guidelines of development, common courtesy in the city of Brookhaven, I don't know where you live, but common courtesy in the city of Brookhaven among developers is to reach out to the neighbors, and it's a very frequent practice that this board and other boards within the city encourage. So strongly advise you to do that.
Yeah, that's not a good start when the neighborhood says we don't wait for withdrawal.
What?
It's not a good start when the neighborhood says we haven't heard from the board.
Agree.
Okay, so you're asking for a withdrawal.
That's correct.
Okay. Would anybody like to move for a withdrawal?
Move to accept the withdrawal.
ZBA 16-66.
ZBA, I move to accept
the
withdrawal
of ZBA 16-66. Is that an
appropriate
motion, Mr.
Rockman? That's
appropriate. I will second. Motion and a second to accept the applicant's request for withdrawal of the petition. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Nay. No nays. Sorry. I was not a nay, I was a investigation. Sorry. 6-0 to approve the applicant's withdrawal request. Okay.
Did you get a copy of that?
I did get a copy.
I'd like to move for a 2-minute recess.
Thank you.
Any seconds?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.
Which is all right, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Okay, we're going to reconvene and hear the last case, 1667.
CVA 1667, 3680 Claremont Road. This is a request to increase the maximum lot coverage from 80% to 84.5%, to reduce the transitional buffer from 50 feet to 0 feet, and to reduce the retaining wall setback for expansion of a parking lot. Staff is recommending deferral. Related to a potential stream buffer issue on the property.
Okay, applicant.
Hi, my name is Tiffany Spradley. I represent the engineer for the site. We completely agree with staff's recommendation at this time.
Okay. That simplifies that one.
I'm sorry we couldn't have moved your case up to the beginning.
So sorry.
I move to approve the deferral.
Wait a minute, deferral until a date certain?
Hold on. We still have a public hearing. We have to go, public hearing, go to public comment for board discussion. Right?
Thank you, Mr. Former Chairman.
There may be people here to speak.
Okay, why don't you reserve the rest of your time?
Okay.
There you go. Okay, any comment cards?
We have one, but they didn't indicate if they were in support or opposition.
Well, what's the person's name?
Dana Ross.
Come on up.
Yeah, come up, Mr. Ross. My name is Dana Ross. I'm the owner of the property directly to the west of the subject property. Ibis Studios. It's a property that goes back to the World War I era. It was American Legion for 40 years, where I purchased it. I don't resist them expanding the parking lot, but was there a place to put these photos?
Mm-hmm.
Set it on the table.
That is from my property.
Hold on, we're going to blow it up.
Okay.
A little more, please. Your property again, sir, is where?
It's 1915 Bragg Street. It's west. We're looking east now to the back of the area.
Okay.
Where they're going to expand the parking lot. That fence, or that vine-covered fence, is the property line. And you can see the level of the cars fronting, coming into that parking lot. That's going to increase probably, if anything, when they build that. It goes off on a slant right now. And my concern is, with zero clearance, it's already fairly heavy traffic, which, again, I support business. I have three properties there. I have three other businesses on my property, so I'm supporting business. But they're going to be coming directly into the face of my property, some of my businesses, or the tenants, and without any kind of buffer from headlights, from loud conversations, there's taxi and limo service that frequents there, that parks there. So there's people in the parking lot talking and stuff. Another shot, same area, but again, that shows the height difference. And this is unadulterated backyard. That's looking through the fence. So I'm standing on the property line. That will all be filled in there, and those cars will be basically where my camera lens is. I'm looking, I literally poked it through the chain link fence. And it is debris on their property, but it is debris. And I'm a little unsure of the attitude they're going to carry forward, right? To just, and that's the last one, looking down the line. I'm in favor of the retaining pond, right? This is a, that stream that's in subject, is, it drains the whole quarter, the southwest quarter of DeKalb Airport. It runs under the Claremont, you know, this all the way from the airport under Claremont, and then it comes out really on the edge of my property, crosses it, and goes into where the extension of Georgian Hills Park, Brookhaven just bought that. That's directly behind my property. So there's a stream coming to the west side, and this stream that's in the subject. Tremendous amount of water goes through there. So whatever they can do, the public storage was built before DeKalb County paid any attention. There's 3 acres or 2 acres of roof with no, it's just a drain pipe. And the only reason there's a drain pipe there is because myself and the EPA convinced them they needed to channel it to the other side. It comes down on the other side, on Bragg Street side of that other property. So I'm definitely in favor of retaining pond and anything else there. Again, that water has been coming down under my driveway, under my parking area. It hasn't done me any good at all. So hopefully that will be considered. But I'm suggesting if they are going to build the zero clearance, that they have some kind of a protection from noise, car lights, you know. Again, I'm standing, this is the top of the fence, it's basically 6 feet plus another, you know, couple of feet, and they're gonna be right on top of me. And since my property is 100 years old, and there's, you know, it seems like some respect should be given. What the solution is, whether it's another 6 foot fence on top of the 6 or 8 foot retaining wall, I don't know, but, or trees, you know, the suggestion of trees that they put forth is on the southern side of the property, which enjoys a slope and a good bit of distance before there's anything else happening. So that's my consideration on it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other comment cards?
There are none.
Ms. Bradley?
This is the first time I've heard opposition, but we are more than willing to work with the neighbors. I'd love to get your contact information. That's not an issue at all. The biggest reason we're okay with deferment right now is that body of water on the property. We're waiting on the inspector to come out and tell us if it is state water, if not. If it is, we're going to have a really huge buffer there, and we're going to have to reevaluate how we approach this thing altogether.
Right. Okay, I think we can close public comment. First thing that the chair noticed in the applicant's materials is we really didn't feel like we had a true survey. Maybe this has been added. It wasn't in the original material. We got a copy now of this as-built survey. It doesn't mention the stream.
Right.
And it, I think that I don't know who did the calculation of impervious surface, but we usually like that to be by a surveyor. So the chair certainly supports a deferral. We need to pick a date. It doesn't seem like February 19th is long enough.
It should be. We should have the determination from EPD on the stream buffer by the end of the week.
Are you comfortable with a
30-day
deferral? So the applicant's requesting a deferral to February 19th.
That would be 16th.
We meet on a Thursday night.
It's the
16th. It's the 16th, okay. Not truly 30 days then, but it's Thursday meeting because the city council's meeting on Wednesday. The room was taken.
Mr. Chair, I will so move to defer ZBA 16-67 to a date certain, February 16th.
I'll second.
And before we vote on the motion, we'd like to see a more detailed, a better, this is so small.
Okay.
You know, we can't read. If you could bring a handout, like 11 by 17 maybe.
Okay.
And also there's a consideration of the fire marshals.
That comment went away. That's been confirmed with the
town. Okay, so cross your T's, please, and dot your I's. And,
yes.
All right, in favor of the motion, let's have a vote. Anybody in favor of it?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? None opposed. It carries 6-0. We'll see you next month. Any other motions?
Mr. Chairman, I'm going to adjourn.
Thank you, Ms. Miller.
I'll second.
Second. All in favor of adjournment?
Aye.
Aye. We are so adjourned. Thank you very much.
Make sure you get a copy of this.
Absolutely.